Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in and catching our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Hey, afternoon.
You're like my Penfold and my Danger Mouse, right? People will go, what? That's an old British cartoon. You know, people will figure it out. Are your headphones not working?
It doesn't appear to be.
Okay, well, we'll switch microphones and we'll kind of just bungle along with me here and we'll kind of figure it out. So let's take care of a little business this half hour. It's brought to you by Dalton Environmental Cleaning, 1-877-DALTONS. That's 1-877-325-8667. With the winter that we've had, the furnace kind of kicking on and off with the warm and the cold, you're probably getting a lot of dust in your ducts at home, and that's not good for your own health. So make sure that you get your duct cleaning done. So call them, 1-877-DALTONS, D-A-L-T-O-N-S, or that's 325-8667. You can also get to them online, daltonenvironmentalcleaning.com. And if you haven't seen this month's Current, the March issue, check it out. It's got some good stuff in it. And, of course, there's the big Dalton's ad in there, so you can see some of the nasty things that build up in your and you had an experience,
yeah,
right?
I had Dalton's out to clean our office ductwork. Yep,
yeah,
it was last summer. Yep, they did a great job. I really was impressed with the professionalism, and yeah,
good. Well, give Dalton's a call, 1-877-DALTONS, Dalton's. All right. Well, what we do every week is talk about the news that's that I put up on the dailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should be. It's the news you need to know, and you can catch that at www.thedailydrift.com. So check it out and make sure that you're going there to get the news. Well, the biggest thing this week, of course, let's just flat see. You still can't hear, can you?
No, I'm good. No,
oh,
I'm
you're good.
Good.
It's on. Yeah. Is the Sessions blow up, right?
Okay, I'm trying to guess what the biggest thing is, because this is one thing after another.
I know. Yeah. It's been literally crazy. And let me just preface this show, because we're going to, at the bottom of the hour, we've got Congressman Tim Walberg from the 7th District here in Michigan calling into the show, so we'll get some updates from him. But, you know, America, you are now under attack. The shots have been fired. Yep. This is a civil war. This is what's happening. It's happening, and it's not a shooting war. Well, depending on where you go, there might be some Molotov cocktails or fire cars being burned going on. But this is a civil war. It is now open, and it's a psyops war is what it is. Yep. And Barack Obama left a ton of psychological IEDs all through the bureaucrats, the bureaucratic structure in Washington, D.C. And that's what's happening here. And people are saying, Trump, you've got to clean house. Well, here's the problem. How do you clean house when you don't have an apartment, a department head? Right.
And
that is one of the reasons these Dems are keeping these approvals from going through for his cabinet, because as long as he can't get them approved, guess who's in charge at those departments?
Yep. The old guard.
The old guard. Barack Obama's people. And if you ask them to clean house, they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm getting to it. So that's the problem. The leaks, everything. This is because Barack Obama laid landmines all through the bureaucratic structure of Washington, D.C. And it's not just him, of course. You've got your old guard, and Pastor Rick and Phil were talking about on the last show. This is the Republicans as well. Yep. It's these John McCain's, these Lindsey Graham's. You know the one that really killed me this week? Jason Chaffetz.
Yeah, that's one I don't get.
He is a complete backstabbing coward or a backstabbing scumbag. Either way, he turned on Trump in the election at the drop of a hat, and now he's turning on him again at the drop of a hat. Jason Chaffetz, you are a coward, sir. You make me absolutely sick that people would have elected you and put you in the position of power in Washington, D.C. What a gutless piece of garbage that man is.
It makes no sense politically for him to for him to behave like this when you got people like Manchin actually jumping on the Trump train because of the direction it's going and because of the coattails that it brings and the actual good that it would bring to a political career of, you know, getting on the Trump train. For Chaffetz to, wow, I don't get it.
There's no explanation. Either coward or he is literally a rhino, a Democrat in rhino clothing. You know what I mean? He is obviously so entrenched with the elite establishment. And that's what you have to look at, folks. This is this elite establishment, which runs across both aisles, it's GOP, it's the Democrats, and they're being funded by this whatever. I'm going to put my – I'm taking the conspiracy hat off because, you know what, it's a fact now.
You don't need it anymore.
You know, we've been saying this for years. You've called me Tinfoil Gary for years. I'm telling you, it's here.
Yep.
This is it. The war is now. It's happening. And whether these, you know, Trump tweeted out today, they were tapping Trump Tower. I don't know that, you know, you're worried that he's just going off, but I have a feeling that happened. I mean, if they're saying that they have conversations and found nothing.
You know, he's got better ties to the intel community than I do. So maybe he knows. Hopefully he checked. And,
hopefully he does. Yeah. But you never know.
But
you don't know
who.
Can't
tell how he knows because it's a secret.
Well, that too. But, you know, but what information is he getting? And this is the scariest part, you know. Folks, you got to understand that he's got people in the intel community that he cannot trust.
Well, we know
how does the president operate if he cannot trust the people that are working for him?
Yep.
And that's what Barack Hussein Obama did to us. We knew he was going to do it. He went ahead and did it now, and it's just out in the open. It's shoved right in our face to make us sick.
We saw the thing with the Flynn taps. There were obviously taps on Flynn. Why would there be taps on Trump?
Yeah.
You know, just another target of opportunity for the Obamas. And besides that, we know that Obama loosened up the NSA restrictions in the last month, last 17 days of his regime. So we know that something's going on there. It's yet to be discovered exactly what.
Yeah, and if you got opinion, call into the show. Love to get your comments, 734-822-1600. But, yeah, I am just flabbergasted. And this kind of all goes back to, you gave Derek that track, right?
Yeah.
Derek, you got the track Ed gave you? Let's play that. This is you want to go ahead and set it up?
Well, basically, this is the question that Senator Al Franken gave Attorney General Jeff Sessions during the nomination hearings. And the question is whether or not Jeff Sessions perjured himself. So I wanted to listen to exactly what was asked of him so we can see exactly what he was answering to.
Yeah. You got that one ready? All right. Go ahead and play it.
If there is any evidence that anyone affiliated with the Trump campaign communicated with the Russian government in the course of this campaign, what will you do?
Senator Franken, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians, and I'm unable to comment on it.
Very well.
All right. You know what I just thought of listening to that one more time? What did Franken exactly ask him? He said, if there were any, would you prosecute? The question was not, did you have any communication? He said, if there were any, would you try and find out what's going on? And Sessions didn't exactly answer that question. What he said was, I'm not aware of any. But the question was clearly about campaign efforts, and it wasn't about normal governmental operation.
Right.
But even then, the question was, what would you do? It wasn't, did you? And when we read the news accounts, if you don't read that quote, and I had to look for that quote in print because I want to know exactly what's happening here, you keep seeing allegations of this, allegations of that. And that's something you see Democrats do all the time. They'll change the wording to make it sound similar and make it sound worse. I see it on Fox every night.
Yeah. Yeah, they do that. And here's what it comes down to. Comey and Brennan, right? FBI and CIA left in December, right? December, whenever they left. January, I guess they left. But in December, they issued a report stating there was no evidence. Yeah. Every column, article you see in any paper, online or in print, they always, and sometimes it's all the way at the bottom, no evidence of anything happening. Yep. Now, let me tell you something. We know that Barack Obama and the Democrats are filled through the bureaucracy. If they had something concrete, you don't think we would have seen it already? This is all pure allegation. They're trying to besmirch Trump and his people, and this is all bull crap. This is just psychological warfare from the Democrats to try and slow things down and try to delegitimize Trump. It's bull.
Mr. Trump, do you still beat your wife, yes or no? I mean, that's exactly what happens.
Yes.
They misstate questions. They misstate what's going on. They state stuff as if it were fact, and it's not. But they say it over and over, and you have to hold them to exactly what's said.
Right.
The truth. That's because they have the media, and all people hear is, oh, he said he did this. There must be something to that.
Yeah, it's absolute nonsense. Well, let's take a break, Derek, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. You can call into the show, 734-822-1600. Give us a holler, and then stay tuned because we've got Congressman Wahlberg coming up at 1:30. And, yes, we are at the 1 o'clock hour now, so pretty awesome.
Oh.
No shots, no drills, no pain. Got your attention? I'm talking about Dr. Michael Singleton, DDS, in Saline. He's been my family's dentist for almost 30 years, and that's a long time. If you're like most people, fear keeps you from going to the dentist. But now, with the Soleil laser technology, the latest in dentistry, there's no fear. That's right. With Dr. Singleton's Soleil laser, there's no fear in going to the dentist. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's truly amazing. So stop putting off a visit to the dentist and call Dr. Michael Singleton today at 734-429-7415 or stop by at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline. Online at singletonsmiles.com. No shots, no drills, no pain.
Call Dr. Michael Singleton in Saline today at 734-429-7415. That's 734-429-7415.
The Power of Prevention with Dr. Dave Janda is brought to you by the Institute for Preventative Sports Medicine.
It's back to the future in sports 20 years ago. That's right, 20 years ago, via studies performed at the Institute for Preventative Sports Medicine, we identified the issue of long-term memory deficits occurring after repetitive head impacts and concussions in sports. Our studies were greeted by organizations in the sports world with disdain, ridicule, and in some instances, we were blocked from getting our information to the public. Now, 20 years later, some in the sports world have come to the exact same conclusion about head impacts that we came to 20 years earlier. When it comes to prevention, caring is the first step, but for it to be more than empty rhetoric, action must follow.
For more information on the Institute, prevention, and Dr. Dave Janda's book, The Awakening of a Surgeon, focusing on the power of prevention, visit www.noinjury.com.
Do you believe the government can keep you safe? You can say it can, and you can even choose to act as if it can. But do you truly believe it? Do you believe speed limits, stoplights, and turn lanes shield you from road rage and drunk drivers? And as good as they are, and as hard as they try, do you believe police officers will be there when you need them the most? What's the cost to a country that thinks its rules can shield good people from bad things? Are we insulated from reality? So arrogant that we believe we can legislate evil out of bad people's hearts? The truth is, the government can't always protect us. Our safety is our job, because our lives are our job. And for the bad guys, that's bad news. We are the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America. And we believe the good guys deserve every chance to be safe. Join us today.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and joining me in the studio. Ipsiad, good to have you aboard.
Get my taste of the drift here.
There you go. Get your taste. We're at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2 now instead of 2 to 3. So welcome to the change, and I'm sure it'll take a little while for people to make that change over. But you can call into the show, 734-822-1600. And let's take care of our sponsor, Burroughs Roadhouse. Now, I was out at Burroughs Roadhouse last night. I had the all-you-can-eat fish, and they had a great music lady out there, Marcia Gale. Phenomenal. I know you like to get out there once in a while,
yeah.
Right? And just fabulous. Food and drinks are always good there. Great atmosphere. But Marcia Gale on Friday nights is absolutely wonderful from 8 to 11. Plays guitar and does some other stuff. Had a guy on piano with her last night. So it's great. And then they do comedy shows on Saturday, Fridays and Saturdays. So tonight they've got Adam Deggie on, and he's pretty funny. So check him out, 810-227-6000. That's 810-227-6000. Or you can go online, burrows-roadhouse.com. Great place to eat and catch comedy and get a little music, whatever it is you want to do. Great place. Check them out.
Historic destination, right?
It's a destination restaurant, without a doubt. You know, it's down in West Brighton, so just go to Brighton and head west on Brighton Road, and you'll run into it. So, great place. But if you want to call into the show, feel free to call in 734-822-1600. We're talking about the attacks on the Trump administration, the attacks on Jeff Sessions, and what it is that's happening. Folks, this is a war, and you can get involved by getting on social media and fighting back against these charges. And we're seeing it on Gab. We're seeing it on Twitter. We're seeing it on Facebook. People are fighting back because, you know what, you have to fight fire with fire. If these mysterious allegations and these no-proof allegations are being made against the Trump administration, you got to fight back and throw it right back at them. But let's talk a little hypocrisy here with Track 1, Derek. This is Bill Hemmer talking to Chris Starwalt about the Dems also meeting Russians and how this is really all just nonsense. Go ahead and play it.
To the casual observer, it may look like they're trying to hide something until you find the following list of Democratic senators who have also met with the Russian ambassador on Capitol Hill, perhaps in their office at a large meeting space. This happens, Chris.
Sure.
A lot.
A lot. But the question here is that the Trump administration and previously the Trump campaign has had to discharge or distance people who had communications with Russia that were not appropriate. And that was three times is the charm. And what Democrats are hoping is that eventually the investigators will claw back far enough and find out that somebody on the Trump campaign knew the Russians were hacking Democratic email accounts so that they could hurt Hillary Clinton. And if they have that, they will have that smoking gun and they will be able to keep this administration bound up and prevent them from doing anything at all.
Well, I showed you that list of Democratic senators. Claire McCaskill was last on the list. Mm-hmm. And yesterday during the hubbub around this, she tweeted the following. She said, again, a senior member of Armed Services never received a call or request from Russian ambassador for a meeting. Never met one-on-one with him. Only to correct herself a short time later when she said, 4 years ago, went to a meeting of many senators about international adoptions. Russian ambassador also attended. I've seen a picture of that. There are a lot of people at the table. The point is, again, this stuff happens. And to think that it is exclusive to one party more than the other is misleading.
Absolutely.
At least.
And I think.
Would that be that smoking gun he's talking about? Okay, so if some campaign official in the Trump administration or at the time campaign knew that the Russians were hacking Podesta, the DNC, whatever, is that really a smoking gun? What could the Trump campaign do about that if they knew? Say, oh, I protest. You must not do that.
Yeah.
Well, how does that become a smoking gun?
Yeah, I think it's a bunch of nonsense. Let's take a call from John in Atlanta. John, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. You know, this is just starting to get to be ridiculous. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I see these three tweets. And, you know, the first question I have is he needs to run a spell checker before he sends out his tweets. And he misspelled tap. And it's kind of ridiculous. And
well, it's early, though. Come on.
What's that?
It was early. You know, I misspelled.
But he's up anyway at that time. I know I worked on the campaign here in Atlanta for like 1,200 hours at the headquarters. So I'm familiar with his time clock and how he works. You know, he doesn't sleep. He sleeps like 4 or 5 hours just like I do. So I'm up there and I see these tweets coming in. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's misspelled a word again. And I'm just thinking of that was going to be it. And then he rolls off with three other tweets. And you hear crickets, nothing from him. And you know what he's doing? He's just going to wait and let everybody get on record as saying, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Where's the proof? Then he should call Presser sometime today and show the proof. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, good point.
And from what I understand and from my belief as well is Sessions should have never recused himself from that case. And I think Trump, I heard, was very, very teed off on yesterday when he was going back, you know, to Mar-a-Lago. That he did recuse himself right after after Trump was on the ship on the Ford, Gerald S. Ford, saying that he shouldn't recuse himself. No, I don't think he should recuse himself. 2 minutes later, he recuses himself.
Yeah.
And it just makes him look, I mean, they're starting to look like Keystone Cops over there. You know, I've been a supporter since 2012, I wanted him to run. And I'm just starting to get like, what's going on here? You know, like, let's.
Yeah, you know what I think it is, John? I think. You get a guy like Sessions, who is kind of an insider. He's been there for years, and he's used to what Washington is like. Oh, the optics of this are going to be bad, so I am going to recuse myself, thinking he's doing the right thing. The world is no longer that way. Trump is, let's be honest, They're kind of Teflon. They can get away with this. I don't think Flynn should have resigned either, frankly. That's me.
No, Flynn should not have. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, he shouldn't.
No, Flynn should have because he was asked to resign.
They should not have asked him to resign then.
If he did lie to Trump,
he did lie. An inch, yeah, it'd take a mile.
That's right.
So now they're going to ask for his head.
Mm-hmm. I heard a guy.
Let him keep asking for the recusal and don't give it.
Right. I heard a guy say
the issue.
Okay, I'm sorry. But yeah. I did hear a guy say last night, I think it was on Fox, and he was saying that he should have recused himself. He should have recused a lot of his staff and then see how far this gets without any DOJ staff. Because what they want is a special prosecutor. Just don't give them the special prosecutor. That's all. Like What's-Her-Face said she would recuse herself.
Lynch,
thank you. She said she'd recuse herself. That didn't mean there was a special process. Prosecutor
coming on.
She just got out of the way. That's all he has to do is get out of the way, take half his staff with him. We all recuse ourselves. Oh, by the way, now there's nobody to investigate anything and walk away.
Yeah. Now, John, so you said you worked for the campaign. Give me your gut feeling. Was there any Russian involvement in the campaign?
That's such a crock. I mean, that's a crock and a half. That's been their meme because they've been building up for this is what they're going to try and get him on. Eventually, they're going to use this Russian stuff. They've used it against Sessions. They use it against Kelly successfully. They're going to eventually try and use it against Trump. These wiretaps probably contain Russian information that he talked to them or didn't include Russian information. The meme is ridiculous, and the narrative that they keep trying to push about this Russian thing. If the Russians were involved and they tried to get Trump the win for the election, they really screwed up because Hillary got the popular vote.
Yeah, exactly.
So you worked on the campaign, right?
We want our money back.
Yeah,
and we worked our butts off to get this guy elected, and he got elected on sheer. I mean, I used to do on my Twitter feed at 55 Lidsville, I did a comparison when they both spoke at the same time at rallies. 40,000 people would be on YouTube watching Trump. He'd have 300.
Wow.
You look at the rallies. Mm-hmm. People are in line overnight waiting to get into the rally to go see Trump. She has to bus in 200 supporters.
That's right. The Russians did not make 62 million people vote for Donald Trump. It's that simple.
No.
But, before you go, I know you worked on the campaign, so there's just one thing I wanted to say before you go, and that's thanks, comrade, and das vidanya.
I spent 2 months in Russia, so I'm told
to see. There you go. So, John, hey,
Wait a minute. You did what?
John, send me a message on...
I'm a software engineer, and I worked there in the 90s.
Oh, okay. Send me a message, John, on Twitter, would you? And if you're not a friend of mine or whatever we call it, a Twitter follower, follow me and I'll follow you back, okay?
What's your thing out?
At Gary Daily Drift. Yeah.
Okay, I'll send out that tweet.
Cool. Have a good one. Hey, thanks, John. Take care.
Hey, you too.
All right.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Let's take a call from Nina in Corpus Christi, Texas. Nina, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nina.
Hi there. I'm happy to be on. Thank you.
What do you got for us, Nina?
I just have a comment and then a short question. Number one, there is a memorandum that was sent to New York Times dated January 19th. Where it said the FBI is leading the investigations, et cetera. And the last line of it says, one official said intelligence reports were based on some of the wiretapped communications provided by the White House. So as we all know, there was wiretaps. And I just want to know, my question is, since, unfortunately, Honest Sessions recused himself, it leaves us stuck with the acting AG. Can President Trump bypass AG and call for an investigation on his own directly with the agencies without AG coordination?
Sounds like special prosecutor territory.
Yeah, that would be my thought, too. I mean, if he doesn't trust the people that are below Sessions right now, and Sessions is there. If he hasn't appointed a new deputy already, what's taking so long?
Got rid of the last one after what she did.
Yeah. I maybe it's the Democrat. I don't know how far down you have to have approval from the Senate to get these deputies done.
Trump could not appoint a prosecutor, an investigator to investigate him.
Yeah.
You know, that guy would immediately have to recuse himself.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, Nina. And let's hope that Sessions is filling up his ranks with people that are loyal to him and not to the Obamas.
And thanks for mentioning that report.
Yeah. All right, great. Nina, call in again, man. Great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, take care. And we'll see you all on the other side of the break.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A response to President Trump's accusations when he tweeted this morning.
Terrible. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory.
Fox's Kristen Fisher at Mar-a-Lago with a statement from a spokesman to President Obama.
A cardinal rule of the Obama administration was that no White House official ever interfered with any independent investigation led by the Justice Department. As part of that practice, neither President Obama nor any White House official ever ordered surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Any suggestion otherwise is simply false.
And there's been a terrorism arrest in New York where prosecutors say a man repeatedly traveled to the Middle East to try and join ISIS. The 26-year-old held without bail, he told authorities he'd been prepared to sacrifice himself for jihad. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's 2017. If you're thinking about investing in your house, now is the time. Check out woodrehab.com or call 248-506-6175. Use this year's tax refund to spruce up your house. And what better way than upgrading your tired kitchen cabinets? Wood Rehab can give your kitchen cabinets a new look at a great price. Don't replace them. You can paint or refinish without emptying your cabinets in this very non-intrusive process, which averages 7 days from start to finish. Call 248-506-6175. Ask for Dave. Woodrehab.com will give you 10% off if you mention this ad. 2017 is a great year. Get it started with a brand new kitchen. Call 248-506-6175 or go to the web at woodrehab.com. And get your kitchen renovation started today.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, opener cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more features standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Hey.
Hey, good to have you on our sponsor this half hour, Overhead Door. If you're looking to get your garage door replaced or fixed or just updated, get a tune-up, call Overhead Door, 1-800-736-7686, conveniently located in Whitmore Lake. You can go to ohdwhitmorelake.com. That's Overhead Door, Old Whitmore Lake Road, and just you give them a call.
I got to tell you, I called Overhead Door.
Did you?
Fixing our dock doors. They were so friendly and responsive, sent me some prints I needed. They found some outdated drawings. I recommend them.
Yeah, great. All right, well, there you go. 800-736-7686, residential or commercial. They do sectional doors, rolling steel doors, rolling grills, counters, shutters, you name it. So it's not just the garage door. It's also the, mm-hmm. the things for restaurants and that sort of thing. So give them a call. And let's take care of look, we got Congressman Tim Walberg calling in. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Congressman.
Boy, I'd hate to be in Washington, D.C. right now, Tim. It's just got to be crazy.
The cherry blossoms are coming up soon, aren't they?
Well, in fact, they're starting early, but sure enjoyed the time we spent together in Washington and enjoyed Yeti cups, mugs, and everything. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. No, it's a great time in Washington. It's certainly active. A lot of stuff is going on. A lot of controversy, of course, but I hope that starts to wear down a little bit as people start to realize the election happened. It is what it is, and some of us had to deal with 8 years of the past administration, and that's the way it worked. And now we have a new administration that many of us are very excited about and the opportunities that are there. So America's a great country. Let's just let's get over it and move on and move forward.
Right. And so let me just ask you one thing, Tim, before we get on, because I know you've got a bunch of stuff that's going to come up this week, and I'm so glad that we are moving on it, because even Pastor Rick was asking me, you know, can we ask Tim if nothing else, let's just start doing our business and forget about all these sideshows that the Democrats keep throwing at us. But Jeff Sessions, having met with a Russian ambassador or any ambassador, isn't that what you as congressmen and as senators do on a fairly regular basis?
Oh, very regular basis. I couldn't tell you all of the ambassadors or diplomats from foreign countries that either have come into my office or I've met at a meeting or I've met in their country over the past couple of years. It's par for the course. The issue is what is done and what is said there and what the purpose of the meeting is. And Jeff Sessions, I think, very clearly said, as a member of the Armed Services Committee in Foreign Relations, you know, I meet with diplomats and ambassadors all the time. This was not done. The question was asked, did I meet and discuss campaign 2016? And the answer, of course, for him was no. And the Democrats are certainly trying to find any means by which they can throw wrenches into the gears as we're moving forward here. But we're moving forward.
Right. Now, this issue of wiretapping, and I kind of thought we had all heard that previously, that the FBI was investigating and that certain committees were investigating anyways. Is there any truth, you think, to this wiretapping of the Trump Tower?
I have no idea. We heard it this morning like you, and I would hope that President Trump would not tweet something out that would be totally blown away with no evidence. So I would at least think that he tweeted something that he is going to ultimately show people why he did it. So
right.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah, we had a caller who worked on the campaign said the same thing. He's going to probably go ahead. And maybe this is what Trump does and is so good at, kind of baiting the media and baiting these people to say all these things. And then he slams them with the actual facts and they look
Which,
bad.
Of course, nobody pays attention to later, though, after all the allegations have been made and made
that's
all
right.
the media.
That's right. Well, Tim, let's talk Obamacare repeal and replacement, because you're on the committee, right? And
right.
that starts in due earnest on, well, it's already started, but you really start firing up on Monday, right?
Yeah, on Tuesday, the Ways and Means Committee and their portion of the Affordable Care Act repeal and replace, and they're dealing with primarily the tax policy issues, the funding policy issues, and an Energy and Commerce Committee, we're dealing with the policy, whether it's Medicaid or whether it's the basic insurance plans and the means by which we put people in a place to have insurance and in a better way than Obamacare. And that starts Tuesday. I know that the Education Workforce Committee, in which I sit and chair the Subcommittee on Health, Employment, Labor, and Pensions, we will be marking up a bill dealing with areas of wellness, workforce policy for health care plans. And then what I understand, and everything always is subject to change, but what I understand, before the end of the week, the Energy and Commerce Committee will start to mark up the larger portion of the repeal of Obamacare and replacement. It'll start with the heavy repeal. That'll go through the reconciliation bill, and that's what we're working on. That doesn't take a 60-vote majority in the Senate. It can go through the Senate with a 51-vote majority and go to the president for signing. That will repeal significant parts of Obamacare. And then Tom Price, Secretary Price, will be able to do multiple changes and repeals and replacement as a matter of course because of what the law says he's capable of doing, the Affordable Care Act law. So that will be part of it. And then we'll get down to the final aspects that are left, and that will be a little bit more difficult because it'll take a larger majority in the Senate to pass it.
I think it's ironic that we had Obamacare foisted on us by reconciliation. Now it will be surgically removed by
reconciliation. You're right. And
finally. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the fact that you knew that and remembered that because, I held a town hall yesterday, and we certainly had Indivisible group. In fact, there were more people from the Indivisible group there than conservatives, they forget all of that. They forget the fact that Obamacare was pushed through under the cover of darkness. Then they found out they couldn't complete it. Some of the things they had to change, get the final votes out of the even the Democrats on it. So they pulled a Senate bill out and put it under reconciliation, so it wouldn't take the 60-vote requirement.
Wasn't it unrelated, and they changed the text and kept the title or something?
Yeah, it was totally unrelated, but it was a bill that sits there, and that's within the confines of the rules. They can do that, but it was such a push-through, and with nobody reading it. Right now, the fact of the matter is this will be a very open policy, and once the bill has been put into a pretty much final setting, it will come out, and not only will all members of Congress be able to read it, Republican and Democrat, but the members of the public will be able to read it as well. And that would be so, so different than what took place under Obamacare and Nancy Pelosi saying we have to pass it in order to find out what's in it.
Yeah, what is this flap right now? I was hearing a little bit about how come we can't read this, sir, before it's passed or something.
It's a strategic disagreement. The chairman of the committee, Energy and Commerce, felt that we had a problem already with some people taking a look at a draft copy and then putting out press releases of opposition based upon the draft copy, when in fact the draft copy had already been scuttled and gone on to the next version of it. And so I think Greg Walden decided we're going to leave this new draft, which is getting pretty close to completion, in a secure place. Members of the committee can come in and read it. I read 44 of the 65 pages on Thursday afternoon before I had to fly back here. I told leadership that I wish I could take that copy and finish up my 65 pages of reading on the plane. It's going to get out one way or another. I don't see how this is going to keep that from happening and cause misunderstanding or people to postulate on it. But that was the decision. But this week, I'm certain that it will all be out in the open for everybody to read, and it will be amended and changed from that point. So it still won't be final. There'll be little jots and tittles that we'll have to work out. But for the most part, it's exactly like we talked about in the Better Way proposal, that the Republicans, I can't think of any that didn't run on that this last election, and even Donald Trump during the general election ran on that same Better Way proposal that the House Republicans have put together.
So it will be read before it's voted on.
Oh, it sure will. fact of the matter, we're talking here, and this is just a reconciliation bill, but we're talking 65 pages. Versus 2,700 pages that went with the Affordable Care Act. You add the portion probably from the Ways and Means Committee, and we may look at another 100 pages. So 165 pages versus 2,700, that's a major difference.
Yeah, huge. And so let me ask you, Tim, are you getting any cooperation at all from any of the Democrats in your committee?
Not yet. And the way that committee is made, I don't expect that we will get any cooperation.
So even though you're handling some of the things that we liked about Obamacare, maybe the the pre-existing coverage. Even though you're handling that stuff, you're still getting absolutely no bonus from the Democrats.
Yeah, well, that's Nancy Pelosi's orders.
So even if they like it, so you may have a couple of Democrats in your committee who probably kind of like some of the things in it, and yet they're following their marching orders from Nancy Pelosi and just saying no, 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 no to everything, and don't you dare. I'm just amazed that any elected official could be so weak and cowardly that they wouldn't stand up to the leadership and say, wait a minute, there's something in there I like for my people, and I'm going to vote yes on that, or I'm going to push for that, or I'm going to agree with that.
Well, that's the difference between the Democrat philosophy and the Republican, and that's why Republicans sometimes we get into a battle amongst ourselves, and we look disorganized because we're independent. And I mean, you can tell me to work as a team, and I'm going to do my best to work as a team. But if there's something in there I just can't absolutely stomach, I'm going to put up a fuss on it. And the Speaker of the House or whoever isn't going to force me to vote, if indeed I look at it and say this does not work. Doesn't work for my constituents, doesn't work for my philosophy, I won't do it.
I often
do. So that's a challenge that we have going forward. We're not expecting any help from the Democrats, so that's why we've got to work together as Republicans, and hopefully none of us will mandate 100% or nothing.
Right.
That's what I hear often as a criticism, though, is that we aren't as lockstep as the Democrats, and that's why we can't advance as much on them as they seem to on us.
Well, I don't know about that, because the House, how many bills, Tim, in the last 8 years did you guys send up to the Senate, and the Senate just sat on them?
600.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're not in lockstep in the House under the Republicans, they're still getting work done. They're just sending it up, and it's stopping at the Senate. And it worries me a little bit. I've been seeing Rand Paul kind of putting the ixnay on some of what you're doing with the Obamacare repeal and a replacement. Do you understand, Tim, what it is that he doesn't like, and can it be fixed before it gets to the Senate?
Well, he's going to have to come up with a better idea than he has right now, and that's simply two bills. One bill will totally repeal Obamacare, and the second is the replacement bill. The problem with that is if you simply repeal and then you have the battle on replacement, and everybody wants to change a little bit, all of a sudden, you leave people
uninsured,
and frankly, that's one. It's not a right thing to do.
A lot of
these people didn't ask for Obamacare, but they were stuck with it. So we're going to have to deal with trying to allay at least most of the pain of changing and moving to a new system. But secondly, it's bad strategy. All it does is set up people to hate us for not doing what was necessary to get the plan in place that repealed and replaced. And so I'm committed to repealing and replacing, doing it at the same time. I think we can. Rand Paul has a problem with one of the funding areas for dealing with individual health insurance, giving refundable or advanceable tax credits. He says if you change it to just giving a refundable or advanceable tax credits to those people who pay some tax, then I'll support it. But if you give it across the board, even as a safety net approach to those who don't pay taxes, their income is too low, I'm not going to support it. Well, that might be the negotiating point that we work with. But again, we have to understand the strategy will have its results and its consequences if we leave some people out of the ability to have resources to pay for their individual insurance plan if they don't have a company plan that they're under.
Some people I communicate with are strict libertarians, and so they're saying, well, we shouldn't be in health care at all as a federal government. And I'm wondering if that's some of the contest here amongst the Republicans as far as supporting this.
Well, I think it is. And I personally think it ought to be something we purchase, just like purchasing gas for our car. That's our responsibility. We don't have a subsidy to do that. But the reality is we've lived under the present setting for 8 years. We lived under the bad setting that forced us to look at some type of reform in health care, and sadly Republicans didn't do it when we had the opportunity, and so Obama came in and he did it, and now we're suffering from it. So, yeah, I would love to simply move it back and say, federal government out of the way. Let the insurance companies explain to people and educate them why you need to have insurance, have competition so people have choices. have catastrophic that meets many people's needs, and then let people decide as days go by what else they need beyond catastrophic. But that's not reality right now. So even as a conservative that leans libertarian in certain areas, I have to admit that that's an ideal, but I don't think ideal will work at this point in time. So let's move as close as we can, but we've got to take care of the problem that is there right now and gradually move the direction where it ought to be.
Okay, and so you kind of hit me. I think you answered my question a little bit. Well, two of the things that I worry most about is, are we going to be able to buy across state lines?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that alone will yeah. drive prices down, or at least give people more options. And then secondly, those, because let's face it, young people don't need to go to the doctor. They just don't. And so it's really those packages that are for catastrophic. I'm not going to worry about deductibles, and I'm not going to worry about going to the doctor. I just want something to cover me in case I'm in an accident as a young person, because that's what scares me. I'm not really worried about
health
so much.
They're immortal.
They're immortal. Yeah. So am I to understand that, Tim, that we'll be able to get – young people will be able to buy a health package that may have huge deductibles and is really just for catastrophic?
Yeah, our whole approach to the Better Way plan is to – make more competition and more choice and let the doctor and the patient decide what they need. And so that says if you're a young person, healthy, you're single, most likely the only thing you need is catastrophic, and that will be the decision you make, and that's the purchase you'll have. If you're married now and you have a spouse and you have the likelihood of a new bambino coming along, then you better do the responsible thing and get some additional coverage that would cover maternity also. But that'll be choices, and you can custom fit it to what you need. And that will be our approach. That was a Better Way plan, and we hope that the Republicans can stand together on that and make sure that that takes place.
Okay, so Tim, you got some other cost saving measures you guys have been working on and been passing. You guys have actually been kind of busy, and a lot of people want to yell at Ryan and say you're not doing enough, but you guys are actually saving some money. Can you go ahead and just give us a recap?
Oh man, I won't be able to get through all of them. It was about 16 different CRAs, congressional.
Review. Good, I'm not the only one that happens to.
Congressional Review, right?
Congressional Review Act, yeah. I wanted somebody to say the Department of Energy. Congressional Review Act resolutions that simply what they do is say in relationship to a regulation or rule that has been put through in a period of time about 60 days prior to this president going out of office, we can go back and by a simple majority vote in both houses, we can rescind those rules. I had a resolution I passed last week. It was the one I sponsored that said departments like EPA, you can't lobby using taxpayer dollars to help get approval for a rule or regulation that you're putting forward.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
They got caught on the waters of the U.S., where they used an approach, Thunderclap, you probably know about that, where that rolls together several social media tools, throws it out all at once, massive reach that it goes, and they didn't identify themselves as being the EPA putting this information out. It was extremely biased. It was all positive about the waters of the U.S., didn't give any negatives or any fair and balanced approach to it, and then they took that information, responses to that, and made it appear like everybody was supportive of Waters of the U.S.
Wow.
and passed it.
Yeah, that's community organizing at its best. I can see right through where that came from.
Thankfully, Senator Inhofe caught it and called on the GAO to do a study. The GAO came back and said, you absolutely broke the law in what you did.
Are we throwing the EPA in jail?
Well, I wish we could, but we've got to look at that too, find means by which we can
throw the EPA in jail.
We can automatically punish either the agency or the individuals involved with it. I would tend to think I'd rather look at a 10% across the board cut in the department that does this type of thing, some percentage. That would get the leadership of the department to get on their staff if that's the problem and say, don't ever do that again.
Right. That would be like a fine?
Yeah, so, Tim, let me in a similar vein then, we heard yesterday and the day before the DOJ slush fund. Are you guys going to be able to take any action on that, or are we going to have to wait for that to come out of the executive branch to handle that?
Well, primarily, I mean, we'll do oversight hearings on that, but it comes down to the responsibility is there in the executive branch. The president, that's where the buck stops. And this president, so far, I believe that he's going to look for waste, fraud, and abuse, slush funds that are used for select purposes, not necessarily for the purposes intended. We know that's all over the place. And we haven't had a president that would really barrel in on getting control of what's going on in these departments. My GONE Act that I passed this past year, and the president signed, thankfully, was a bill that said there are multiple millions of dollars in grants and grant programs that either have gone out of date because there's no money left in the grant program, or there's plenty of money, but nobody's using it, and so you've got administrative costs that are in it. These were dollars that either should be used for some other important purpose or given back to the taxpayers, and we were successful in getting that through. The RAINS Act that we passed, and the president will sign it as soon as he gets it from the Senate, that says that any rule or regulation that costs $100 million or more has to go back after approval by the agency or the department, has to go back to Congress for final approval.
Wow. Very good.
So those are things that are starting to take back Article I powers of Congress.
Yep.
And though some of my colleagues aren't happy about it because that means they can't blame it on a department, the buck will stop at us if we let this regulation go through. Yet I think that will also put a little bit of a burden on us to think more carefully before we just simply say, let's pass this law and then let the bureaucracy put rules in place how to carry it out.
Yeah. Now, I know, Tim, you get to speak to Paul Ryan fairly often, right?
Yeah.
And so what is the general mood? I know Paul gets bashed, even by me sometimes, on social media. What is the general mood? I mean, let's just take one overall look at D.C. right now. Between the embedded bureaucrats that are obviously still loyal to Obama, And the nonsense being spread by the media. What's the flavor in Washington? Are you guys worried? Are you positive? Are you optimistic? Is the negativity so palpable that you're worried about it? What's the general mood?
No, I think on the Republican side, it's very optimistic. We certainly have a little bit of tension from disagreements that go on, and like I said, that comes from being independents. We're not lemmings,
right?
But no, it's very positive. Paul is extremely excited about working with Trump. They meet at least weekly, if not several times during the week, and he feels very good about the direction it's going, and Trump has been very close in working with Paul Ryan, and so I think things are moving forward.
That's good to hear.
Good. Well, Tim, thank you so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next month, and if you got something important, you're always welcome to come back sooner.
Great. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. And until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, folks. I put that work out there for you to look at, spread it around on social media, and get involved. That's all I can say to you. Get involved.
Yep.
Take care. We'll see you next week.